The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
All right, great kids. It's another edition of Stunt Granny Audio. This is Jeremy. Joining me this week is Kevin, because Eric flaked out and apparently his messenger stopped working. So you're going to be Kevin and I this time, and we're going to cover kind of a roundabout sort of stuff. News stories,
just go
I guess.
With it.
Yeah, whatever. So without getting into the usual bullshit, let's talk about TNA. I know the two of us have threatened this for a while, but there's actually some sort of news. Everyone knows by now, considering it was last Thursday, that James Storm is now the new TNA champion. From that, or because of that, due to that, for whatever reason, TNA scored their highest rating ever. And it was a show that was dominated by talking and 10 minutes, I think it worked out to be, of actual in-ring wrestling.
Oh, was there that much?
Yeah. Yeah. About 10 actual minutes of action. That doesn't include coming down to the ring, introductions, none of that. That is actual in-ring competition, if you want to put it that way.
Right. Yeah, no, I know I watched the whole thing, but I really... hard pressed to remember anything that really happened.
Yeah.
Outside of the main event, which was, you know, a minute.
Yeah, a minute 14. Well, that's because the beginning of the show was 30 minutes, three commercial breaks full of talking. And I understand that they needed to, you know, wrap up, address some of the issues that have gone on, especially with Sting, Hogan turning face, Dixie Carter returning, Kurt Angle retain. I'm trying to think of all they worked in the first 30 minutes. Kurt Angle retaining the title, Bobby Roode being mad, James Storm coming out, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, at a minimum, they really didn't need to have Dixie Carter on there.
No, not at all.
You know, save her for the second episode, and it's not a big deal to announce that Sting's running things now or something like that. Like, you know, who gives a shit?
Well, especially part of the problem, this is a logic gaffe, part of the problem was that she put Sting in charge of the day-to-day operations of Impact, while she handles, you know, the day-to-day operations of TNA Wrestling. That's how I understood it. But then Kurt Angle comes out later and says, hey, I have, you know, Bischoff and Hogan worked this clause and blah, 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 so you don't get another shot. If Sting's running the day-to-day operations and Dixie Carter's clearly there, why didn't they just overrule it and go, well, this is a new day, and now you have to face him?
Yeah, just void the contract.
Or just go, well, yeah, that was that contract. Well, this is a new match. This isn't a rematch. And make it some sort of stipulation. I don't know. They could have come up with some sort of creative way around this, especially with the fact that Bobby Roode was slated to win. Then they changed their mind. The day, like either the weekend of or day of the show.
Yeah, and it really would have helped, too, just the overall, yeah, I mean, I guess we've got to jump to the end just because we've already brought it up, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, everyone knows what happens. So.
Yeah, Storm, I like him better in every way possible, aside from the fact that he obviously doesn't care about his physique as much as Bobby Roode does.
Yeah. As much as he should.
Well, yeah. I mean, just drop 10 pounds and everything will be cool.
Mm-hmm.
But anywho, what the shit was I going to go on? That completely threw me off.
You're talking about Rude.
Yeah, no, but Rude winning really would have made sense, a hell of a lot more sense, because they build him up. Like, James Storm was just, they strung him along a little bit, and they always just tried to play the, oh, let's break them up card. And
right.
For some unknown reason, I can't believe Vince Russo didn't bite. Maybe it's because there was already one fight within Fortune already that he didn't actually break them up.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
And I don't care if Vince Russo isn't in charge. When you have that many people turning all the time, that has Vince Russo fingerprints all over it.
Yeah. Well, but also, if Christopher Daniels is still part of Fortune, what an idiotic group of people that is.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But I guess also on, what is it, Bound for Glory, which still doesn't make sense why that's their WrestleMania. But anyways, in name at least. They cut out the skit where James Storm wished him good luck, which is supposed to be like the start of tension or something. And then, you know, once he was going to lose and have James Storm win, that was going to be the start of a program to where one turns heel so they do finally break up or whatever.
Oh, Jesus.
But I think one thing we're missing is they spent months building up Bobby Roode. Months. All those video packages. When they had, and knowing that they weren't going to do this with Roode, I mean, that, you know, they were pulling the plug on it. Whatever.
Yeah, no. Because how many days before the pay-per-view was that? Because I feel like that was Thursday or Friday. Was the day that Hogan said he didn't think Roode deserved it?
I think it was the week before, actually. It was the week before.
Oh, it was the whole week before?
Yes, it was the week. It was the Friday before the Friday of that pay-per-view weekend.
Okay, so yeah, little over a week ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. But
still.
Yeah, it's just like, oh my lord, like, if you thought that then, you obviously... Because by that point, I thought that they were doing a fairly solid job of building him up. I'm not going to say it's perfect, and I felt a little bit forced, but they were putting the video packages together. They had him win clean over, you know, big-name guys, at least in TNA. You know,
yeah.
They had done everything right. And it's just, like, even if it was members of Fortune... You know, I mean, AJ Styles was a former champ. You know, Daniels was the only one that didn't take a loss. Kazarian's always kind of been there, so it was good to have him first.
Mm-hmm.
Was he second? Daniels second?
Or was I don't remember.
Because it's Kaz, Styles, AJ, or Styles, fucking A. Yeah, because it's just the five of them. Yeah, okay.
Yes, it's five, yeah.
So, yeah, it was Kaz, Daniels, then AJ. And then, of course, I mean, it does make sense to have him fight his partner last.
Yeah.
Even though AJ was the bigger name. But at that point, they had him beat AJ clean. And it's just like, you know, yeah, you're doing something, but all along you know that you think he's a piece of garbage.
Yeah. Well, but also going back to the Bobby Roode thing, that was supposed to be Matt Morgan all along, and then he got hurt. So they, you know, they went with the second best option, I suppose. But yeah, so they go with that, and if you're going to go with it, and just like you explained, you go with it. I mean, I know you said that it's just the members of his team, but they were trying to make Fortune seem like, you know, the elite group there. So you kind of have to, you know, treat it as special that he beat all of them. But the plug, I mean, well, I mean, maybe that's where we disagree, but I mean, beating all the members of his own group is actually kind of important. I mean, outside of Daniels, but whatever. It just seemed if they were going to pull the plug on Roode, or if there were there was all that trepidation or uncertainty about him winning, then they should have just gone with James Storm. Especially when it turned into them being in the Final Four together.
Yeah.
It would have just made sense.
And I can't.
And you could have just plugged Storm into this. Because I can't imagine. Now, apparently, some are saying behind the scenes that James Storm winning was done because the locker room was pissed off that Bobby Roode was, you know, got the loss. Which makes even less sense why you would do that.
Yeah.
I mean, and really, with TNA, and this will get into the ratings talk a little bit as well, does it matter who their champion is? In all honesty. And what I mean by that is take away any of the prejudices or try to ignore the history and look at the facts of the promotion. Does being champion in that promotion matter at all?
No. No, I mean it really, like, in this.
I mean, I knew that was going to be the answer, but I guess I'm looking for anything to where it does matter. To what we're missing. I mean, obviously you supposedly represent them, but.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's nothing to it, honestly. It's just like, you know, Kurt Angle didn't get them any press, really. Mick Foley didn't.
Well, yes, he did.
Well, okay, yeah.
He sure did.
Yeah, okay. He got DUIs out the yin yang.
And don't forget a stalking charge.
And a stalking charge. So, yeah, like...
Oh, and another DUI charge, too.
Well, that's why I said I felt like I was multiple... I just went with multiple DUIs.
Yeah, but it's funnier when you say a DUI, add something, and go, well, and a DUI, another. So, even though it was thrown out, apparently.
Oh, my God. I can't even believe I'm reading that headline. Foley hasn't gotten them anything. I mean, Foley, he actually probably talked more about TNA in his appearances on Opie and Anthony mm-hmm. than Hulk Hogan has the entirety of his run in TNA.
Mm-hmm. Yes, on multiple platforms too.
Yeah,
and
like
Foley's not going on all these, like Conan and all these different Jay Leno and all that. Hogan is.
Yeah.
And he pumps micro championship wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, if you're top guy, the top guy ever in wrestling, yeah. I mean, I don't even know how people can use that defense anymore. Like, I just honestly don't. Like, it's like it hasn't brought TNA anything. Like their no. ratings haven't gone up at all. Like, and I don't even know what numbers you pulled up.
Mm-hmm.
But I like they're not above two. I know that much. Like I don't even need to look at them to know that they're not above two.
So, yeah, I just sent you the link for it.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, they're consistently hovering at a one. Okay. So we're going to September. The highest rating up until this week in the last 2 months was a 1.2 on August, the week of August 22nd, the beginning, okay? Then it hovered at a 1, and it, oh, I'm sorry, September 12th it was a 1.2, then a 1.1, 1.4, 1.0, 1.05, and then this week's, or last week's, excuse me, was a 1.35. All right? Now, here's the thing. The trend with this, and this is going back a ways, for the year, the average is almost 1.2, and it's like a 1.
Yeah, no, I just
okay, it's almost a 1.2.
The only medium that worries about anything past the point is professional wrestling.
No, yeah, true. Okay.
Yeah, no, their highest rating for the year was a 1.36.
I'm looking in 2010, and there was a 1.45 on January 4th, and I'm trying to figure out, was that the Monday night stuff, or was that this year?
I
don't remember. I honestly don't remember, so.
Neither do I. Like, I don't remember when they tried to pull that Monday garbage off. Like, it feels like it was forever ago.
No, that was actually last March, last year, March.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so anyways.
So practically it was forever ago.
Yes, yeah. So, and their ratings have steadily been a 1-1, okay? I don't understand why there's the tooting of the horn to pull in a 1.35 or whatever. Knowing, and just based off of just go to the ratings and look, you're going to drop right back down to a 1-1 because your follow-up is garbage. Now, even WWE's ratings go up after a pay-per-view. For most of the time, there are the occasional exceptions where they
right.
either stay the same or they're slightly lower, depending on if Monday Night Football's on, or some other half-assed reason. So Eric Bischoff was posted, I think it was on Twitter or his Facebook account, that it's funny how, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't have it pulled up in front of me. It's funny how all the sheets or all the critics who. All right, I forget doing that. But basically saying, you know, everyone that railed on this and the show got our highest ratings ever. Well, big fucking deal. It doesn't matter. You got great ratings. You got huge ratings for the show. Okay, good. What's going to happen next week? You don't toot your horn over what just happened. You toot your horn after sustaining it. If they stay at 1.35 for 2 months, or even a month for that matter, then I'd say, yeah, that's something to toot your horn about. You've done something right.
You've actually added 100,000 viewers for more than a month, or more than
no,
a day.
No, it's actually, I think it's 200,000. Because remember, a 0.1 is, it's not 100,000 like you'd think it would be.
Because
why make sense?
Yeah, naturally. Yeah.
But at the same time, does that show on Thursday in any way make you think that next week's show is going to go up? They gave away a title match on free TV, but there's nowhere to follow. There's no way to follow that up the next week. What, are you going to have another free title match and make your already dwindling pay-per-view business even smaller?
yeah, no, I mean, and they can't trot out the dog and pony show every week with Hogan.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess they could.
Yeah, well,
but
well, there's that. No, but now
how
they
much
have
welcome back. Can anyone really? Well, those fucking sheep could probably chant it all day long.
Yeah. Well, I one thing, and we've talked
just
about this
losing
before.
Losing faith in humanity as we talk.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's possible to lose it any further, but. The one thing they need to do is burn Universal Studios down and get the fuck out of there with the insurance money and go on the road with it.
Oh.
When they go live, that looks like a legitimate wrestling show. And it, regardless of the in-ring action, it looks like a legitimate wrestling show.
Right. Yeah, I mean, even some of those old, like, AWA ones, they don't look nearly that shitty. Like, I don't care if it was in the 80s, not filmed in HD. It yeah. looks so much better because they were in, you know, some type of an arena.
Yeah. Well, some of those showboat ones where there's 20 people on one side.
Oh, and like no one on the other side.
Yeah, yeah. And it's supposed to be, you know, the major leagues or whatever. That guy got to say at the end. But,
yeah, well, like I said, some of them. I didn't
yeah. yeah, well, then they have, well, they also used to do the trick of putting the lights down so you couldn't really tell.
No.
But I guess the problem with James Storm winning the belt, besides the whole Bobby Roode fiasco, is that no one really knows who James Storm is. He's never been a prominent player. I mean, sure, there's beer money, but it was Roode that always did the talking.
Yeah.
America's Most Wanted, Chris Harris, for the longest time, treated him like shit and was just like, yeah, cowboy or...
Yeah, that was one thing that kind of cracked me up. I read that, and because I'm not sure if I don't even know, where was America's Most Wanted ever on when they were on Spike TV?
I can't answer that right offhand. I don't know.
Okay. I just, because Powell mentioned something like, oh, I remember when everyone thought that Braden Walker was going to be the, Chris Harris was going to be the big deal in the WWE, mm-hmm. and that James Storm was a nobody. And I was like, wow, really? You know, and maybe I didn't see them. I know that I did not see the majority of America's Most Wanted run. I know that they were more on the pay-per-view slash whatever shit TV station that they were on before Spike.
FSN. The FSN Fox Sports Net for a while.
Oh, and speaking Sunshine. Of that, I don't even ever remember that that Ring of Honor garbage is on my TV now, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, we'll talk about that next time.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah.
Calling it garbage is a little strong, but production value wise, yeah, it's they gotta step it up on the show. But we'll get to it next time. We're not gonna talk about it.
That's cool.
We're actually staying on point for a change, which is really odd. So
yeah, no, I just can't believe that there was any point, like, since I didn't see the majority of their run, I can only go with what has happened since then.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, wow, okay, so this fat, out-of-shape dude with greasy hair who can't talk at some point was better than this guy who at that point, really at the beginning, was trim, could talk, and could wrestle really well. I'm like, I guess I can't even wrap my head around that, you know, like, because I definitely started watching it by the time Chris Harris was in the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, wow, how did anyone ever think this? Like, you know, not having seen a majority of it for sure. It's just like, wow, like, were people that drunk all the time when they were watching TNA?
Well, there was a definite change with Chris Harris that once it became apparent that the change was going to be permanent, you know, a lot of people lost faith in him. And, it, you know, as evidenced by his showing up at it wasn't PWO, was it? No, it wasn't PWO.
No.
Some wrestling show crying.
Oh, yeah, I remember that now. Yeah.
And then they actually brought him into TNA after that for a second, the feud with Storm. But Storm, and I think all four of us have talked about this before, Storm has actually, he looks the part. He does conduct himself like a big star.
Right.
He's got that aspect down.
Yeah, no, the bigger problem with him is that they didn't spend months building him up.
Right.
Like, if they, like you said, he was in the final four. If, you know, even if Hogan says from there, it's like, okay, and I'm still having a hard time wrapping my head around the fact that it's supposed to be Matt Morgan was supposed to win that thing. That's just incredible to me.
Well, but Matt Morgan was seemingly the choice because he used to have that old feud with Kurt Angle, never really went anywhere. So, you know,
oh wow,
it would have
that's,
made sense.
That's why
at the
he's
time.
Supposed to win. I mean, not because he's a terrible wrestler and not very good on the mic either.
Hey, what are we talking about though?
TNA.
Okay, so I'm trying to use their logic. You know, the guy that always yells or talks really fast when everything comes across is really important, but it's really not. I was like, oh Christ, shut up! But then he's really tall, so he does the knees or not the knees, the elbows to the head.
No, yeah, because it's always fancy to elbow somebody in the head.
Yeah,
after
if Kevin
you throw off your elbow pads.
Yeah, if Matt Morgan actually believed anything, or if Matt Morgan was actually getting that much advice from Kevin Nash, he would not be in TNA.
Oh,
because Kevin Nash is about money, and if he's supposed to be a mentor, Kevin Nash would have been going, the second your contract is up, you get out of here and go up north. We'll just use it that way in this. and start at the bottom, and then you make your money.
Yeah.
Because a guy his size, there's no chance WWE wouldn't be exploiting him. Even if he wasn't tough enough, he was there before, blah, blah. There's no chance John Laurinaitis, or Johnny Wooden, excuse me, the senior vice president of talent relations, wouldn't sign him in a heartbeat. Because they would want the size. If they're pushing somebody like Mason Ryan's goofy ass, I can't see how Matt Morgan wouldn't have been pushed by now.
Right.
So.
Yep, but, and yeah, they pushed Andy Levine for Pete's sakes. And as much as I just ripped on Matt Morgan, he's better than that knucklehead.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what more there is to say about TNA. It's really you have to sustain this. Next week, the show doesn't sound much better.
I don't even know if I read those. I probably read them and have forgotten them already because they're that uninspiring.
Yeah. It's... The saddest part is going to be is if it does pop a rating. And they keep on this because the show still... The show... I think you hit it when they said this was a reset button show. But yet, if Dixie was in charge, why isn't Bischoff fired? Bully Ray, all those guys, why wouldn't she immediately fire them? And get rid of every last one of them and be done with it? Because it doesn't happen next week. In fact, Bischoff takes up more time bitching with his son because they sell tickets to house shows and merchandise and pay-per-views. And that's where we'll end that one. Speaking of pay-per-views, there was one over the weekend, WWE Vengeance, and rolled into Raw. And I'm trying to remember, was there something else we wanted to talk about besides WWE?
Oh, shit. I was just trying to get those... already out of my head.
Okay.
Because it... It's just getting tougher. Like, at some point, I feel like I had some hope that I was going to get out of this ridiculous funk of terrible everything. But, right. Raw isn't any better.
Nope.
Is SmackDown? I kind of like SmackDown better again. Since they seem to be back in development phase, at least when they're not pimping everything that isn't Raw related.
Right. Well, I'm going to SmackDown next week. I totally forgot. I got my tickets already. So.
Oh, jeez. I completely forgot that. Oh, hold on. That was the first. Was that the first set of spoilers that you just sent me?
It should be for the 27th. That's this week. Yeah. Show up with James Storm doing an interview.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I tried passing Kevin the spoilers for next week's Impact on the sly, but it didn't work out, so.
Yeah, well, because as soon as I saw that Eric Young was bringing Ronnie from Jersey Shore, I thought, I'm like, oh, didn't he just send me these? Send me a repeat?
Well, yeah, but you know what the funny thing is? That show next week airs the day after they tape next week the next Impact with Ronnie but B on it. How do you like that one? Hey, you guys, none of this has happened on TV yet. So, you know what? Just go with it, okay? Thanks for your money. Bye. Yeah, it's incredibly smart. So. So anyways, Vengeance, it's really hard to find signs of hope for WWE right now.
Yeah.
They gave Punk, and this is just going to be all over, because really, what do you want to talk about with Vengeance? The ring exploding? Okay.
Yeah, great. Ring exploded.
Kevin Nash came back. Good.
Oh, I was completely and utterly shocked. I was not ever expecting that, because, they wouldn't have ever put him on TV for a really, really long time to just have him stay away.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's supposedly going to be cleared to wrestle, I think, Friday, which is why he's back now. So, let's see. What else happened at Vengeance?
Yeah, Del Rio retained.
Yeah. Mark Henry, Big Show blew up the ring. Beth Phoenix won.
Dolph Ziggler
Boom won.
Retained
won.
His belt, but lost the match.
People cheered. It took place in Texas. I guess. I don't remember. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Were there other matches? I don't know if it matters. So.
Yeah.
Oh, Randy Orton beat Cody Rhodes. Because that makes sense, because Randy definitely needed the win. Sheamus.
Well, see, now, that's one to me that is a problem just with all of their heels for the most part. Like, there aren't any baby faces for Cody to really step up. Like, I guess that's why I was going to bring up those couple of points that I made on my almost live and definitely half-assed review of Raw there.
Mm-hmm.
The one point was, and I guess I'll just stick with it here, is that Cody Rhodes, I know that he has a built-in feud with Randy Orton and a history and all that good stuff, but who's he beaten to be on that level of taking on Randy Orton? I mean, aside from nobody.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
No, you're exactly right. He beat Rey Mysterio at WrestleMania.
But even that, didn't he have to use his mask to beat him twice or something?
Yeah, but he always does now. So he basically, you know, Randy Orton should have that gimmick because his dad used to have the cast all the time.
Right.
No, and I agree with you, though. It doesn't make sense. Cody doesn't even look like he's in his league, let alone act like it, or having been positioned to be in that.
Yeah. And just physically, it's just like, you know, I'd just laugh, you know, if UFC decided to have one of their heavyweights take on one of their featherweights. You know, and have this giant, like, 265-pound guy take on a 145-pounder.
Yeah, like...
No, fuck you. He's going to get destroyed. Let's just move on. Like, this is stupid.
Like I don't know, like, was it Alistair Overeem versus Uriah Faber? Although, Faber probably beat him, but whatever. No, I know exactly what you're getting at,
and
though.
It's just like... So, you know, if I am to be believed that there's a chance that Cody Rhodes can win, have him beat somebody, and then I think it was Powell that had it perfect with Christian now, is that he's going to be a gatekeeper for all the baby faces, honestly.
Right.
Like, he's going to be the, okay, you've got to beat Christian before you can move up to the main event level.
Well, see, but after a while, doesn't the gatekeeper just become broken down? And everyone's like, oh, yeah, I expect this. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he'll get, you know, a win here and there to make sure that he isn't completely broken down or that they can make sure he lasts a little bit longer. But I thought that's a perfect description for him.
Yeah.
They just can't keep anything on the heels, just period, end of sentence. Like, I don't even care what level of heel it is. Well, aside from Mark Henry.
Yeah. Well, it was funny because Gail Kim actually said that in an interview that they did not want heat getting on any of the heel divas. So nothing mattered. It was only all about the baby faces, all about baby faces. And ever since she said that, maybe it's just one of those things, but that's really stood out to me. That's almost what they're doing with the guys now. The heels outside of Mark Henry, just like you just said, don't get any heat. Look at Alberto Del Rio. He gets nothing. Now, Miz and R-Truth maybe are the exception right now.
Yeah, but then they're not getting the backing. Del Rio's at least kind of winning matches. Like, they're not even winning matches.
Right.
So, you know, that part is not going to help out.
Now, there's nothing going on right now. See, the most heel heat is on Johnny Wooden and Michael Cole.
Ziggler.
Ziggler, I think, is getting there. I don't think it's a huge amount yet, though. But
no, but I mean, wrestler-wise, I can't think of anyone, because I was going to say, I always say, even with that pairing, I still say Vicky first.
Yeah.
In that grouping. So, he's getting somewhere, but still, he's going to run into the same problem that Rhodes does, is that there's no one for him to step up to.
Yeah.
Well, at least physically he's, can compete with those guys.
Well, I'm just hoping they're not dragging it out for a Dolph Ziggler Jack Swagger match.
Oh, geez.
At the Rumble Rumble will be fine, but at WrestleMania. That was a fear I ran into last night, and I'm like, no, this is not happening.
Gotcha.
Because I just don't see where that goes, and Ziggler has no one, just like you said. I wouldn't mind a CM Punk Ziggler feud down the road.
Oh.
Yeah. But I think part of the problem right now is everything's going to be based around The Rock and John Cena. So every match is just stagnant, right? Not stagnant, but development-wise, everything's stagnant right now. But
yeah.
All right, let's talk about some of the good things, though. And we started talking about one, and that was Dolph Ziggler. It is amazing how far he's come and how legitimate he actually is now.
Yeah.
Just from a year ago, especially from 3-4 years ago when he was part of the Spirit Squad, or when he was Kerwin White's caddy. he's been around. He's been around a while. And yeah. It's one of those guys, slow build, and he puts on the best matches of the night. Do you ever read the blog? Well, I guess, I don't know if we're supposed to pimp all the ones, but there's a website, With Leather.
No.
Okay, it's part of the UpRocks network, and they always have the best of Raw, or best and worst of Raw for each week.
Uh-huh.
And the guy, I don't know, I can't remember his name who writes it, but he was talking about Ziggler and how his matches are always constructed, and it didn't really occur to me until he pointed it out. Ziggler's matches always start slow, no matter what it is. And then the last, depending on who it is, 10 to 5 minutes of that match are nothing but action. Everyone, and it doesn't matter who it is, every match he's in is like that.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, how long did I just argue that they always left him in there for a long match?
Yeah.
It's been, a year plus that I've been mentioning that, he's just, I don't know why they didn't ever let him do anything, but they kept on like, oh, okay, go out there for another 12 to 15 minute match with Ray or, somebody. Like they've counted on him in the ring. But even last night, I was more impressed with him last night than I have been even in a while. It's like, dude, he really seems to be kicking it even into another gear. He seems to have found just even another place just with his mannerisms and everything in the ring. It's like, wow, dude, he went from just doing really well to just, he's kind of blown it out of the water in the ring right now.
And his interviews are getting better too. Cause if you notice, they're not letting Vicky talk too much now.
And
when
yeah,
it comes to him.
And that was another one that we just talked about. How long have we said they just need to give him the mic? So she does some type of, she gives the excuse me and, says a little bit of peace, and then he's got the mic the rest of the time now.
I guess that would be, maybe that's on purpose as a transition to Dolph and, I'm sorry, not Dolph, Vicky and, Swagger.
Yeah.
Cause Swagger, I'm not even making fun of people with a speech impediment as much fun as that is. He talks, you do not take him seriously. There's no way around that. You just don't. Sorry.
Yeah. No. And just another perfect example of why they should use some type of manager. You know, some guys, you know, maybe they'll just cut it in the ring. Like, I don't know why that isn't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it kind of goes to the whole tag team thing that we've beat to death a million times too.
Yeah. Well, I've always wondered if, in their own dumb way, and I'm not saying that it's a proper, or it makes any sense. I just wonder if that's their way of trying to keep down on cost. Less people outside the ring, more in the ring to get more out of them. And that's why they got rid of managers, and now they use the announcers as, you know, the heel manager sort of deal.
Yeah. But they have so many people on their roster that they still don't use.
Yeah, true.
You know, I mean, you're talking about them. They don't want to waste money. It's just like, well, if you have like half of your talent is never on TV, especially now with both the super shows, it's just like, okay. You know, everyone's lost time. Unless you're Cena, Sheamus, I don't know, you know, the couple of top guys.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to keep it positive.
It's just really tough. You know, outside of Ziggler, I'm trying to. Oh, well, I mean, Punk is still cracking me up, but, you know, some of his stuff is almost bordering on, just because I like his sense of humor better, it makes it easier to swallow, but he's almost, the way he was talking last night to, good old Johnny Wooden Nuts is, I'm sorry, Abdul-Kader just blew somebody up.
I keep looking up at Halloween 4 and forgetting that I've forgotten most of the beginning of this movie. So, oh boy.
What the hell was that? Oh, but like Punk is kind of bordering on like the John Cena. Like, I'm not even mildly concerned about you kind of an attitude. Like, I know I'm going to win, you know, and he's getting the crowd to chant his name. So, I mean, they can't go back really in a way with him.
Right.
Even though they've killed his push as an overall. Well, okay. He's getting a title shot. So, I mean, I guess it's not completely killed, but we'll see what happens here.
Yeah. Well, I think. With Punk, I get the feeling part of it was just Triple H came back. And as much as the two of us talked about how we knew there was a plan, or we were hoping there was a plan, there obviously wasn't. The push, it was the weirdest D push ever, how hot he was. And they were like, all right, we gotta pull him back like we do everybody else. That's almost what it seems like with him. And now it's time to rev him back up again.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it makes sense, but that's what it seems like. Like he was anybody else. Like imagine when Austin got really hot and they pulled him back. he beat Shawn Michaels, okay, at WrestleMania 17, right?
Yeah,
17. Yeah, and then remember he lost the title to Kane, the King of the Ring, because did he bleed first or I?
Yeah, he I got hit. Kane... Yeah, it was the first blood match. Someone came in and hit him with the chair. and he ended up bleeding. Like, I don't even think
Undertaker. Because if Kane lost, he had to sign himself on fire. That's right.
Yeah.
And all right, so it would be in this position, it would be them going, all right, Steve, we're pulling you back for a while. At the height of the popularity. And I know it's a huge difference in money at the time.
Well, even longevity. I mean, Austin had kind of been in that stratosphere for a while at that point, too.
Yeah, I mean, I may be mixing my dates up in years, but yeah, I think you know what I'm getting at, though. And then all of a sudden, knowing SummerSlam's coming up, oh, shit, we got to push him back up again.
Yeah.
It's just silly. And that's just what it seems like they did. So, you know, Punk did resign. I guess he got a lot of perks out of it. So, you know, good for him. But I don't know, man. Outside of Dolph and Punk, there's not – Zack Ryder is one of those where now I'm beginning to see everybody else's side that it is just a mind fuck with people. Like, Zack Ryder was going to be in the main event of Raw. That was pretty cool. And I was actually going to say something on the show today. Like, see, everybody? You bitched about this and blah, blah, and this is just lip service. And he gets attacked and gets put out. And I'm like, oh, shit, it was just lip service. They're exactly right.
Yeah.
It's just like a constant, almost like a battered wife syndrome sometimes. You know you shouldn't go back. You know what the bright path is. But you still go back for whatever reason. And it just disappoints all over again. I mean, what did I call it today? Oh, Raw is Snore? Or Raw, yeah, Monday Night Snore. That was it.
Yeah.
There was nothing interesting about the show, man. Oh, except, and this got a howl of laughter. Triple H is on the ground on that board.
Oh.
And some dope goes, does he have a pulse? That was fantastic.
Yeah, no, that whole segment, I couldn't stop laughing. Like, if I didn't like awful stuff, like, I would not have appreciated that in any way.
Yeah.
You know,
Nash struggled so hard to pull Hunter up on that board. I don't think he anticipated just how heavy all that dead weight was going to be, because Hunter couldn't help him at all.
Yeah, well, and you were talking about, does he have a pulse? That was a funny point. And then at the same time, the dude goes, is there a gurney? And I'm like, dude, he just pulled him off of one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, how are you asking where it is? It's, like, just to your right.
Yep. Yeah, you got it. Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's on the fucking ambulance right behind you, idiot. Yeah, I don't know where they get these actors from. I know some are independent wrestlers, whatever, but some of these guys, ugh, you're never going to make it because you have no timing. You have no concept of anything.
Yeah, and honestly, like, as much as they script everything these days, it's just like, okay, these are your lines.
Yeah. Okay, and someone... Like, all right.
Put them on the thing with Triple H so that you can just read them as you're trying to get them up.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to think of something better than does he have a pulse. Ask if he's conscious.
Does he have a broken jaw? Like he hit.
Yeah,
it's
anything
jaw.
Broken. Yeah, just dog shit. Oh, my God. I couldn't stop laughing, though. I was like... What EMT in their right mind? Now, I guess because he supposedly got hit in the face with a sledgehammer, I guess there's a possibility he instantly died if the brain stem, the stem got, you know, disjointed or something. Whatever. In other words, it was impossible. Not impossible, but highly improbable. Oh, man. I don't know.
Yeah, that could have been a highlight of the show, which is not good news.
Yeah, well, one thing that Raw did make me do, though, is I went to YouTube and looked up Midnight Express versus Dynamic Dudes. just to see Jim Cornette smash Shane Douglas over the back with a tennis racket. And then have to explain to Elise, the other guy with the really bad mullet is John Laurinaitis. I forgot all about him as a wrestler. So seeing him again, it took me a second. I was like, wow, that's him, huh?
Yeah, I remember them in theory, but he is so unmemorable. There's just like, I guess I remember, what's his name? Shane Douglas, just because I ended up seeing him later. So
yeah,
because
he teamed with Ricky Steamboat.
Huh?
He teamed with Rick Steamboat.
Shane Douglas?
Yes. They were tag champs for a while. That's why I remember him.
Oh. Well, I guess I don't even really – I remember him from the Dynamic Dudes. Mm-hmm. But, like, Laurinaitis was such a forget – oh, what a shit goal.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't recall the Dynamic Dudes too much other than I hated them and I loved Jim Cornette hitting Shane Douglas with the tennis racket. And then I believe it was Bobby Eaton. I should remember it since I just watched it yesterday. After the match, they're all celebrating Jim Cornette. Bobby Eaton is doing the tisk 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 move. Uh-huh. Into the camera, like shame on you for thinking he was going to turn on us. It was so great. It was such a dick move. It was just beautiful stuff. But so there's the positives of Raw: Dolph Ziggler, Jim Cornette, and CM Punk, and some dummy asking if they had a pulse. But I think that's probably enough for this week. Or this time.
So,
I hope everyone enjoyed the show. We actually varied it up a little bit. We'll be back later. Don't know if it's going to be this week or not. Hang on. All right. Got any comments, questions, anything like that? StuntGranny@gmail.com is the email. On Twitter, I'm going to skip it. But WWE's obsession with Twitter was out of hand last night.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just drive just any of their statistics to make themselves look good.
Relevant.
Relevant, yeah. It's just like, oh, we have more fans. It's just like, well, yeah, no one goes to NFL.com because if they go, they go to their team's site.
Right.
Yeah. And even I rarely, if ever, go to the Steelers site.
Mm-hmm. Well, just because someone or something is trending doesn't make it good.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's like they've taken that and made it this badge of honor. Oh, Kevin Nash is trending. It could be Kevin Nash rapes children, or Kevin Nash has horribly dyed hair. Over and over and over and over again. It's not a positive thing. You need to check that out before you broadcast that, hey, Kevin Nash is trending. You better make sure it's some sort of positive manner and not, oh shit, Raw fucking sucks. They brought Kevin Nash back. So that being said, you can follow us on Twitter. It's at StuntGranny. It's at DeFrango11 for Kevin, at Dusty Giebank, figure it out, at Granny Maze for me, and what was Eric's? I don't remember.
Oh, it is...
on the spot.
Poon in the cow pie. I believe that's what it is. Poon in the cow pie.
Sure. Wow. You can leave a comment on this post in the comment section. We read them. We may not always have something to say after it, unless you're trying to tell us what a great website we run and that you found the information to be very useful, or that you like our design and you will definitely bookmark this and come back every week.
Every week? You got to come back every day, yo.
Yeah. Well, hey, these spam bots, you know, they come back every week, not every day. They got stuff. So, all right. So thanks for visiting. Thanks for listening. Thanks for reading. I'm Jeremy. I'm checking out.
Okie doke, grandkids. Hopefully, if I have my druthers about me, Jeremy baited me into Column, which I'm almost finished with. You know, nothing like taking a week and a half to finish a goddamn Column. And, yeah, it will be more TNA talk. And hopefully, one of these days, I'll be all caught up on Pro Wrestling Ohio, because the sad thing is that is by far – well, no, it's not even sad. It is my favorite program to watch right now for wrestling. So you can go fuck yourself if you don't like developmental wrestlers, because they're not the greatest thing since sliced cheese. I'm going to go grab a sippy time beer. Out.
How's that for pile driving, Miss Daisy?